And good morning, San Francisco and the world beyond. This is David Grace over in San Francisco's Indie Bay Radio Studios. On the phone with us, we have Abraham. Tell me your last name again, Abraham. Neasley. Neasley? Okay, great. Yeah. Now, I see tomorrow evening in the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland, you're putting on a presentation about impeachment. And let's see, it's how to impeach a president. And I ran into some of your organizers the other day. I understand you've got a four-part platform, so to speak, on this impeachment process. Tell us what you've got coming up.
Well, the platform itself is from the Center for Constitutional Rights, a book published by Melville House Publishing, and the movie is as well. And the four crimes are four crimes that I think, you know, a lot of people can gather around and really understand the threat to the Constitution. The first one, you know, is FISA, domestic spying and contravention of the law. The second is, you know, an intentional fraud to lead us into this war in Iraq, and also as an illegal aggressive war. The third is the crimes of torture, rendition, and indefinite detention in violation of the law and the Constitution. And the four is, you know, these crimes taken together as an intentional attempt to subvert the Constitution and the rule of law. So this event tomorrow will be showing that movie, and we'll also have a brief panel discussion afterwards and some question and answer with Bill Goodman, legal director for the Center for Constitutional Rights, and we'll also have Daniel Ellsberg, publisher of the Pentagon Papers and one of the board members of Constitution Center.
Right. Now, the overall theme of this, of course, I also see you've got Ron Dellums, former congressman from over there, and also...
Well, we have a few invited guests. Unfortunately, Ron Dellums will not be able to make it. We're hoping that some other members of local government are able to make it. He was never confirmed, so we're hoping that some other local government members make it. Obviously, he'd be really great, but... unfortunately, he is not able to make it tomorrow, so he was not confirmed.
Okay, well, we'll leave that off the agenda then. I'm just wondering, there have been a number of different attempts to deal with impeachment. Obviously, with the Republican control of Congress, even the agenda is so stacked that the issue can't be raised. And so there have been attempts to get state legislatures to call for the impeachment. I understand there have been a couple of attempts. Have there been any state legislatures that have been able to pull this off as an entire legislative body or with a plurality of a legislative body? For example, I think California had it on the agenda in the state legislature to call for impeachment.
There is a California assembly bill, and a number of assembly members have signed on to that, including San Francisco's Mark Leno and the East Bay's Lonnie Hancock. And the bill was originally introduced by Paul Koretz. It would be great if folks want to, you know, call and try and get that bill to move. Unfortunately, we're coming close to the end of the legislative session, so it's not seeming terribly likely, but we'd certainly love it if it does go somewhere.
Well, right, and this is one of the constitutional methods of inducing impeachment, that if you end up with a stacked Congress, that you can at least get the states to demand it. And apparently, is it only required that one of the 50 states call for it, and then it has to be induced?
Well, there's a little bit of question because it's not actually mentioned in the Constitution. It's part of Thomas Jefferson's rule of parliamentary procedure, which is a mechanism of the House rules. And what it allows for is, you know, states to induce impeachment, you know, once situations like this happen where Congress is really failing in its authority to check the abuse of, you know, a president that's overreaching with the Constitution. So, you know, it says very clearly in the rules that, you know, it would then go into a special procedure where they have to take it up, but we don't have much faith that that alone is going to take it, which is why we're trying to get local communities in multiple numbers to organize to just start to take these issues seriously. All members of government take an oath to uphold the Constitution, so it's our hope that, you know, local government members of any level are willing to start to take these issues seriously, start to take their oath seriously, and start to do something to take these crimes seriously.
Well, right. And now, as we go through the four parts of the articles of impeachment as being described by your group, it would seem to me that each of them can stand by themselves as something enormous. And I'm wondering, you essentially are talking about creating a plateau that that each city or town or state can base articles upon. And say, for example, rendition is just so obviously a violation of due process that that anyone in their right mind would demand that due process be a standard in the treatment of anyone, whether U.S. citizens or citizens of the world. And so the idea of just kidnapping someone, dragging them into a secret prison, and then never allowing them to face their accusers, to have an attorney, to go into any kind of court process, that's so abominable. And then the idea that there is a budget for these secret prisons, and that the taxpayers who pay for this are never allowed to know about the budget, much less the secret prison. So the opportunity for theft of people's assets is an enormous opportunity for any kind of corruption. Why don't you go into the rendition aspect of this and tell us about what you've learned about it and where you would lead these charges and this information.
Part of the reason that we're calling for this is to really get an investigation put forward. Unfortunately, so far, all we've had is a series of, you know, newspaper articles that have released, you know, some small aspects of these crimes. But we've never been able to really, you know, find the full detail out. And, you know, now we're facing a situation in which newspapers are intentionally being threatened with prosecution in an unprecedented way in violation of the First Amendment for, you know, doing what the founders saw as their, you know, civic responsibility to check the authority of the government. So, you know, we're hoping that the crimes of rendition, indefinite detention, you know, it starts to, we hope to create a groundswell of effort towards moving the, you know, American society and the world towards reestablishing the law in reference to due process, in reference to torture, and really starting to get, you know, greater attention to these and get the checks and balances working as the founders intended.
Well, right, but I'm not sure if you've ever read the old book Count of Monte Cristo by Alexander Dumas, but it was a very much a standard that the in that case an innocent man, a first mate of a ship, the captain dies in the dying breaths of the captain. He tells the first mate, please deliver this letter. And he does, and then he sails on his way and goes on to what he thinks is a bright future, but then is rapidly arrested and locked away into a secret prison for 14 years. He doesn't learn why for many, many, many years, but then it turns out that the judge that sentenced him to indefinite prison, it turns out the judge's father was caught up in the corruption, and so because the letter that was delivered to the judge's father, the judge realizes that that his own viability in the government is at risk. So he has someone locked away for a crime that they didn't know they committed. And so it would seem to me, more we're learning about these prisoners in Guantanamo, maybe these are people who don't know what they know, but they do know something. For example, maybe Johnny Walker Lind knew about the massacre at Mazar. Maybe Johnny Walker Lind knew about the opium that's grown up in Afghanistan and Bush ties to opium smuggling. Maybe Johnny Walker Lind doesn't know why he's in prison. Maybe Johnny Walker Lind has information that he doesn't even realize. So what can you tell us about the average prisoner in Guantanamo? What can you tell us about, you know, what you've learned about, rendition that, would justify, locking someone away in a secret prison for an indefinite future?
Well, I think that, I'm not prepared to, you know, go into, conspiracy of that sort. I think that the real thing here is that it's a president that has no respect for the rule of law and the Constitution, that this is an intentional attempt to advance the idea of the unitary executive as a president that's above the law. It's a president that can do anything that he wants, regardless of the will of Congress or the will of the courts. And that's what we see to be, you know, one of the greatest impeachable offenses is, you know, an affront to the Constitution itself, which is an affront to the American people, which is why we hope that the American people, you know, as polls are starting to show, really stand up and start to demand impeachment. And, you know, there is a groundswell out there. There's a groundswell of people that really do care about these issues, in spite of the fact that it hasn't really gotten much attention, you know, in the press. There hasn't been investigations yet, and yet people are starting to, you know, piece together the clues to realize that, you know, there really is this threat out there that, you know, the Constitution really is in crisis, and that, you know, it's up to us as citizens to try and speak out to do something about that.
Well, right. Now, tell us the illegal war. Many people are obviously aware of that. Where would you take the charges of the illegal war?
Well, the war itself, you know, can be seen really as, you know, a fraud to get us into the war, meaning that the president, you know, with the Niger scandal and the Downing Street memo and other information is starting to show that intentionally wrong information was used so that later we can just say, oh, sorry, we had bad intelligence. But the CIA and every intelligence branch made multiple efforts to get that information stricken because it was what they saw as their smoking gun of evidence that every single person that had the opportunity to fully investigate it said was wrong. Also, you know, the aftermath of World War II gave us, you know, the model of international law banning wars of aggression. And a war of preemptive defense is a war of aggression. It's an unnecessary war, and it was a war of choice. And it's a war that really has not done anything to make us safer. And so our goal in this is to reestablish those precedents, to reestablish, you know, peace for its own sake, meaning the laws referencing war, wars of aggression, and trying to get our country to therefore follow the lead to get, you know, these precedents reestablished. Because if the United States doesn't take the lead, no one will.
Well, the idea that the neocons have hated the United Nations for virtually the amount of time that it's existed, the United Nations is the ability for the smaller nations to lobby for redress of grievances against the larger nations, to create a body to be able to keep the largest nations in check. And so since the fall of the Soviet Union, the United States is essentially the only superpower, and the ability for the smaller nations to protect themselves really falls on the United Nations, and the stacking of positions in the United Nations with people like John Negroponte our UN ambassador, that the ugliness of their callousness to diplomacy and the desire to bomb the top 10 stories of the United Nations and subvert the will of the people of the world to their to their apparent master race theory that the United States is a master race and that everyone else should be subjected to it is clearly a bait and switch. Before we go any further, let's remind people that this is an event that's happening in Oakland tomorrow night, Wednesday the 19th?
And, yes, tomorrow, July 19th. It will be at the Grand Lake Theater, 3200 Grand Avenue. We're definitely looking forward to this event as an opportunity to, present the well-grounded facts on this issue. Because of the lack of investigation, it's really hard to get the accurate information of the American public so that, people can really, ground their complaints, in the most provable and identifiable facts. And particularly short of a congressional investigation, there's only so much that we can actually show and prove, and this is trying to show that information so that, we as citizens can speak out more forcefully, actually having the accurate information, so, we can start to do something about it.
Well, sure. Although the proof is clearly there with, for example, the charge about the illegal war, the Downing Street memos make it very clear that the intent to lie and subvert evidence, and in fact with the outing of Valerie Plame, the evidence is very clear that not only was she in a, Valerie Plame worked for a company called Bruder Jennings. It was a CIA front company that gathered information on energy needs of various countries. And if those countries desired nuclear power plants, obviously the ability to make nuclear bombs or, dirty bombs out of what was needed for a nuclear power plant would be there. So her ability to monitor, and Brewster Jennings, which, as I understand it, had some 70 employees, maybe more, not only was she outed, but her specialty was to gather information on a variety of different countries, and in fact, North Korea was said to be within her venue, and perhaps Pakistan as well. And the idea that they outed her, knowing that when they killed Brewster Jennings as a company, they would destroy the ability to gather further information on the proliferation of nuclear weapons, which would then justify this this war. It would justify the sales of nuclear fissionable material and create a scurrying effect of all of the nuclear scientists that may or may not have ever been associated with Brewster Jennings, so that all of the sudden, when nuclear scientists who were looking for a job anyway, and if they had any association with Brewster Jennings, they would then be considered perhaps traitors and have to go on the run, go into hiding, and in doing so would then be subject in short order, would have to spend all of their savings and then be available, let's say, at virtual minimum wage to the highest bidder, or the lowest bidder, the any bidder, for nuclear handiwork, so to speak. And so not only did the Bush administration out Brewster Jennings as a company and all of those associated with it, but they've created the inability for the United States to monitor, as well as they've created a real crisis with the nuclear scientists of the world who, whether they had peaceful or wartime ambitions, they have now become essentially targets in a horrible spiral of mature use of the nuclear the Atoms for Peace program has been shot to hell with this outing of Brewster Jennings. So it isn't just the outing of Valerie Plame, it's the destruction, the willful destruction of the capturing of nuclear, the nuclear genie, And that as a charge in the world crimes has got to be going down as something akin to Nero fiddling while home burns. It's,
well, I'm not prepared to go that far with, you know, in terms of intent with the outing of Valerie Plame. But what it does establish is any person that's critical of this administration, particularly the war effort at that time, was, you know, outed and publicly shamed and publicly attacked using the role of government, which is an illegal and certainly immoral attempt to silence their critics. And that's one of the things that the Constitution in Crisis memo from John Conyers' office mentions, and that, you know, it establishes a precedent where any person that's been critical of this administration has had similar treatment. And so, you know, it's certainly something for people to be concerned about, because it's meant to, you know, silence efforts such as ours to speak against this administration, to create an effort to, you know, show what these crimes are and show really that, you know, these precedents are there for a reason, these laws are there for a reason, and we really need a government and a president that actually follows these laws.
Well, right. You know, I'm looking also at charge one, the illegal domestic spying in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and the Fourth Amendment. Now, one of the things that is probably most damaging about the Bush family reputation is the savings and loan scandal. In the 1980s, the Bush family was very active in creating the downfall of a financial institution in America, the savings and loans, which were the famous Jimmy Stewart movie, the Christmas movie about the savings and loans, and oh, my God, I'll think of the name of the movie, but it's the dichotomy between banks and savings and loans. And in it, the venal nature of banks trying to crush the small man's ability to save and create a future of their own. It's a Wonderful Life. That's the movie. The Bush family was active in taking the side of the bankers in crushing of the savings and loans, and they looted America. They essentially destroyed three-quarters of the American farms in a fell swoop, about 12 years. Three-quarters of American farms fell. Now, if the Bush administration, the Bush family, were to get control of the finances of America through a spying campaign, and to make a top-secret campaign of learning about how every American's finances are handled, to track every computer, every receipt, every bank transfer in America with a massive database, and this is the very family that had a dubious, ugly hand in the savings and loans scandal. This domestic spying and an illegal domestic spying, they've created a structure that makes it it's top secret so that the American public can't monitor it. They have to pay for it as taxpayers. We pay our taxes at risk of penalty of prison on April 15th, and then we elect representatives to make sure that our money is spent wisely. But then it turns out that our congressmen don't even have the security clearance to know how their money is being managed. So tell us, is there a limitation to the charge that you've put here, or would it go as far as what I've just laid out?
Well, I'm not prepared to go into the realm of conspiracy. I think that that's really why we need these investigations, and why people are concerned is that they don't know really what the limitations of this program are. And the FISA Act is very specific in setting forth criteria that allow for domestic spying to protect the national security of the United States. And the FISA law allows for a warrant to be given retroactively, three days after a tap is given. And so the president or any member of the executive branch can institute a wiretap and 3 days later get permission from the FISA court. But for some reason, we have not had that happen here. We have not had the laws that are in place to protect our Fourth Amendment freedoms and to protect those privacy rights actually enforced. So our goal is to, have those privacy rights enforced, have, an investigation into the lead up to this war, reestablish the laws against torture, and, reestablish the Constitution as that which protects us all in reference to all of these issues and limits the authority of a president to overreach and, establishes Congress as the appropriate oversight body.
Well, right. And that said, taxation with representation is the main theme. And if it is top secret, if we, the people, elect representatives to make sure that our money is being spent wisely, and an arbitrary view of what a war is creates a top secret level so that our congressmen no longer have the ability to learn how the money is being spent, and that war was created under fraudulent terms, it would seem to me that there's a very dubious picture here when it's with a family and a series of cronies that have been perhaps not even elected. And they've come to power through dubious means and now intend to take in endless power for a war without end and with no exit strategy. It really seems to me that it's a sucker's bet that that this is an organized crime syndicate rather than anyone who has any kind of grounding in constitutional law.
Well, we're not prepared to condemn a whole family. We're looking specifically at the crimes of the president and this administration. Subverting the FISA law when it specifically makes reference to, limiting the authority of the president, is one of the things that we're really concerned about. So, if anything else comes out in an investigation, that's what we're hoping for, is to use this as a groundswell to create those investigations to really have answers as the American people, which, the American people are entitled to.
Right, right. Well, it's we the people, and at this point it's the people of the world, and not just it's the people of the world that are being targeted by every paranoid thought. It's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the some years ago, probably about 15 years ago, the beginning of the domestic spying through proxies was exposed. And the Anti-Defamation League of Brene Brith was caught with a spy here in San Francisco. This fellow was essentially being paid to spy on every kind of little nonprofit protest group around the city, and he wasn't paid. He wasn't paid by salary. He was paid by commission. So, in other words, if he wanted to make more money, he had to find more enemies. It's my understanding he got about $500 per name of each group. And so he found daycare centers that he was able to declare as domestic terrorists. Food Not Bombs was a notorious one. And in the end, I think there were over 800 groups that this guy had developed as enemies. And so he had developed a little database which was sold to the FBI. And so to find enemies of the state on a commission is actually a financial transaction which is a guarantee for the dissolution of the nation through ugly suspicion. If you aren't there to find an authentic enemy, but you're there only to get paid to find enemies, then obviously to get piecework for enemies is a recipe for disaster. For united you stand, divided you fall. Tell us what you know about the domestic spying that would be able to give people hope that they could unite together again, as opposed to being constantly fearful of who might be an enemy or who might be a paid spy, so to speak.
Well, unfortunately, we really don't know anything about this domestic spying program, which is part of the problem, that particularly Congress is authorized to know, you know, who's being spied upon, why, when, for how long, and what are the circumstances that led to them being spied on in the first place. You know, the president has asserted that this is just to spy on Americans speaking with foreign terrorists, but that claim certainly hasn't been proven, and there's really no credible reason to believe that it's true. And so our hope is to see these investigations come to fruition, to get a warrant before spying on American citizens, and actually have the rules that we've set up be followed, and be followed by anyone and everyone.
You mean something like equal justice under the law?
Well, no, particularly to have minimally the FISA law be followed, to have our Fourth Amendment protections guaranteed, and have them guaranteed as Congress intended, which, you know, currently they're not being. And Congress, the other thing is that the intelligence investigation branches of Congress are lawfully entitled to know the scope and detail of any intelligence program in this country. And one of the things that's really been troubling is that many intelligence programs have not been released to Congress in what seems to be a willful attempt to violate, you know, yet another law. And certainly to violate and subvert the separation of powers as traditionally interpreted in our country.
Right. Well, it's there's an ugly history about the Bush family. I in looking at your website, let's see, what is it?
Constitutionsummer.org.
Yeah, it's constitutionsummer.org, right. And in looking at it, you do have a good cross section of organizations. I was even looking at in one of them it lays out how your organization was founded and who helped put it together. So you've got UC Berkeley, Yale Law School, Stanford Law School, Columbia Law School, Georgetown Law School, Bolt, which is here in San Francisco's Law School, George Washington University's, UCLA, UC Santa Cruz, UC Santa Barbara, UC San Diego, University of Michigan, University of Maryland, and the list apparently continues to grow. So you do have a lot of well-grounded law schools across the nation. That said, obviously people are going to be, let's say, holding their cards to their vest, so to speak, rather cautious about being imprecise in their language. And so I can certainly appreciate your being tactful with my interview. You know, you don't want to clearly say that all of the Bushes are organized crime figures, although I think anybody who would look at 9/11 and realize that the lesser-known brother, Marvin Bush, had the security contract for the World Trade Center, for the Boston airport, Logan Airport, and he also had the security contract for JFK's airport, and he also had the security contract for the Sears Tower in Chicago. And the oddity that anybody would have security contracts for two of the airports that the planes took off from and the World Trade Center, it is enormously strange to behold. And then that the Carlyle Group would have have a vested interest in the anthrax remedy. They would also have a vested interest in the smallpox remedy. And the idea that they would create terrorism routines and scenarios that would create a financial gain with every terror campaign that happens, they seem to profiteer from it. And every elevation of the heightened security gave them overtime and gave their cronies overtime, and that overtime was handed out in crisp, clean bills that seemed to disappear. And the tracking of it through security state apparatus, that the congressmen are never given security clearance to monitor how the taxes are being spent, it really seems to be a dubious one. So it would be nice to find out if some of these law schools will be able to just do something very simple and challenge the ability for security clearances to override the ability for Congress to manage the money.
Well, yeah, we, for example, with your statement just now, I mean, we aren't in any way prepared to say, you know, that 9/11 was a conspiracy. However, you know, I think that what that shows is a lack of faith in the government because of the inability to, you know the most basic facts about the way our government's being run. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, reestablish that oversight, reestablish those congressional investigations, actually find out what's occurring, find out the specific details that the Americans are entitled to, and, you know, allow the intelligence committees in both the House and the Senate to provide the oversight that they're, you know, legally bound to do. And when these programs are kept secret from them, not only is it, you know, unlawful and unconstitutional, but it's also dangerous to the American people. And so what we're hoping for is to, you know, certainly dangerous for our rights. And so what we're hoping to do is, you know, reestablish that oversight. And, you know, this movie really should be, you know, one of the first steps towards doing that. So,
you know, as I'm looking at your website, I notice that you're actually doing these same teach-ins in Washington, D.C. and New York. Are they all three on the same night? And then Ann Arbor, it looks like it's coming up on the 26th of this month?
Well, if you go to articlesofimpeachment.net, there's actually teach-ins scattered all over the country. There's a few where we have volunteers that we've mentioned on our website, but there's additional teach-ins, you know, scattered all over the country. So no matter where you're listening, chances are there's one somewhat close to you. And so if you go to www.articlesofimpeachment.net, you can also host a teach-in, and you can see this movie, you can get copies of the book, and you can find out the specific details on this and hopefully start to organize in your community to address these important issues.
Right. And as I go to the 26th of July, I see that you do have a small window file of the movie itself. Is that right? If someone...
That's just it's a trailer, just like you'd see a trailer for any other movie.
Oh, okay. So the entire movie is not online yet?
No, it's not.
Okay, so a person would have to get in touch to get a copy mailed to them if they wanted, they were
living. You can do that at www.articlesofimpeachment.net.
Okay, great. And then the link is also within your constitutionsummer.org?
Yep.
All right, good. Hey, well, we sure appreciate your time, Abraham. And again, this is Abraham Neasley. Did I get it right that you're with the Center for Constitutional Law?
No, I'm actually with ConstitutionSummer.org.
Oh, okay. All right. And so I'll go ahead and adapt that when I post this online. And again, in Oakland, California, as well as New York City and Washington, D.C., all on the 19th of July will be these teach-ins. And then later in the month, I believe, the Washington, D.C. is on the 21st, so that'll be the Friday night. And you certainly can get involved. There are any number of different do you know specifically who will be speaking out in the Washington, D.C. Version?
Well, David Swanson will be there. He is one of our advisory board members and co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org. And further speakers should be listed at the event.
All right. Well, good. Hey, well, thank you again, Abraham, and we'll look forward to attending. And with any luck, we'll get an audio file and be able to post it on RadioIndieMedia.org so that people up in the Himalayas can learn about the upcoming impeachment.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you again, Abraham. And you're listening to Indie Bay Radio here in San Francisco, and do attend. It'll certainly be worth your while to learn about the structure of impeachment. It sounds like we're going to have generations worth of constitutional scholars based upon the actions of this creep, and it'll certainly educate us all in some of the basics of taxation with representation. So you're listening to Indie Bay Radio here in San Francisco and RadioIndieMedia.org. Here's a favorite San Francisco band that seems appropriate to this, El Cid and Vigilante 435.
Your time.